When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Well, that was no fun. Kind of forgot what losing felt like, John. Good morning, 97.1.
Well, it's a nice problem to have, forgetting what losing feels like, but it
John, I don't like it, for the record.
No. It hurts even more when you get slapped in the face with it. And it just, I mean, the disco has been closed.
There's a reason disco died.
Yeah. That's a good way to put it. There is a reason disco died, and it was dead and buried yesterday starting at 4:25. It's a long funeral for it.
Yeah, we have a long show, and we'll have open lines. But let's start there, John. What did we miss? Because you didn't see that. I didn't see that. Tom didn't see that. TJ didn't see that. We'll have him on later in the show. But what did we miss?
Well, we didn't anticipate, at least, that the offensive line was going to have their worst game of the season. That the defense wouldn't be able to stop the run. And if you can't run the ball and stop the run, it's going to be a really long day. And it was. They fought as hard as they could to get back into it. They, you know, and Dan obviously took some chances, some that, I think some will disagree with. But in the end, they just didn't have enough yesterday. It was a bad day to have a bad day.
Down 14-0 early.
Yeah.
And I know the score says one possession. They were down three scores in the fourth quarter. And credit to them for fighting, but that the score to me is not indicative of how lopsided that game was. They came into Ford Field and thumped the Detroit Lions.
Yeah, they did what their game plan was, exactly what you thought the Lions, minus the Josh Allen runs, that what the Lions were going to do.
Listen, 15-2 is still on the tracks. Remember, that was the one loss that I did have.
Yeah.
The rest of the way. But I also feel like we have to have a conversation because it felt sobering, right? We were riding so high, double-digit disco. They're peerless. They don't have an equal. They're not the Super Bowl favorites today. And John, I think that's part of the conversation, is that defense got exposed against the only elite quarterback they have faced this season. And if they are going to achieve the goal of winning the Super Bowl, they will have to face a quarterback like Josh Allen. It may be Josh Allen, 550 yards. 8 yards per play. They forced one punt on the day. And that defense was mostly healthy to start the game. So before we do this, Jim, you don't know what you're talking about. There are a bunch of practice squad. That secondary was healthy to start the football game. That D-line was as healthy as they've been in months to start that football game. And it was hot knife through butter. And they're not getting healthier. So if anybody, you're being unfair to the defense. They're injured. They were healthy to start, couldn't get stops, and this is going to be a banged-up unit the rest of the way. They'll get a little bit of relief, but, John, that defense was nowhere near good enough.
Have you ever watched Pop Warner football?
Yes.
Watching Josh Allen yesterday was like watching two teams play in Pop Warner, and one of them just had one that was just bigger and better and faster and stronger than anybody else. He was playing at a different level than anyone else on that field.
They had an eighth grader playing against sixth graders.
That's exactly what, that was my description of Josh Allen yesterday. He just looked like he did whatever he wanted, whether it was throwing the ball, running the ball, and I mean the chest pass that was called back because of a holding call. Like he was operating at such a high level. I mean, his passes down the field early on, where it wasn't bad coverage. They just were dropped into a basket.
He made a couple big-time throws. But I also feel like the Lions' defense, I mean, I know they're a man coverage team, But when the Bills are using pre-snap motion and IDing man coverage and getting running backs on linebackers and beating you with crossers over the middle and you're not getting pressure with your front four, like Aaron Glenn, can we like sprinkle in a little zone? I know it's not what you're doing, but try to throw him off a little bit.
And that's what we talked with Brian Baldinger last week. One of the things he talked about was the mental side of things for Josh Allen is at such a high level right now. And he is fully aware of how dangerous he is with his arm and with his legs. And when you get a guy with that type of awareness and then also has that type of understanding of NFL defenses, it becomes very hard to defend. And even if you go zone, it's very hard to defend. Even if Aaron Glenn made all the changes in the world and you run that back with a completely different game plan, the results might not be different. And the results might not be different, not necessarily because of what the defense did, but when you look at the Lions' two losses, the one commonality between those two losses are Tampa Bay, Jared Goff threw the ball 55 times, and after that game, Dan Campbell said, that's not a winning formula. And then yesterday, Jared Goff's numbers looked great, threw the ball for almost 500 yards, but threw it 59 times. And I guarantee you, when we talk to him tomorrow, he's going to say that's not the recipe for winning.
In terms of what Campbell said after the game, he repeated a ton that it was on him. Felt he didn't have the guys ready, didn't want to make injury excuses, said that they've had them ready to play before. Guys have played better than that, and he put it on him for the preparation. They did have 10 days. And that's not an acceptable effort. He said they matched, you know, they got to see how they matched up with the best of the best, arguably one of the best teams in all of football, one of the best in the AFC, and he put it on himself. The onside kick you heard in the update, I think that's what you were referring to when you said aggressive decisions that people won't always agree with. I guess where I'm at with the onside kick, and by the way, open phone lines all show long, 248-539-9797. I understood why he did it.
Yeah.
There's 12 minutes to go in the game. We just got done telling you all these gaudy stats that they were putting up. Lions defense couldn't get stops. They began the fourth quarter down 3 scores. I'm not sure how they're going to win that game unless they steal a possession. And probably need to steal 2, but you got to start with 1. So he goes onside kick, 12 minutes to go in the football game, and it's a disaster, right? It nearly gets returned for a touchdown. But I could defend the decision. I really could. I'm serious. Yep. What I can't defend is if it was the right decision with 12 minutes to go in the game.
Why not with 8?
Right. They score a touchdown. It's the same deja vu, but there's only 8 minutes. Dan, you really need to steal a possession now. Stick to your convictions. Don't be wishy-washy on us. Go for it again because you were right even though it didn't work, which is what he does on fourth down.
Right.
It doesn't have to work for it to be the right decision. I thought he should have stuck to his guns and doubled down. Now, the fear is, and he shouldn't be worried about this, you're going to look like a lunatic. But he says, like, that's why other coaches don't go for it. Because they're afraid they're going to get fired and have to move. Dan shouldn't be afraid of that. Don't flip-flop on us.
Yeah.
Do it again with 8 minutes to go.
I would have flipped those decisions. I
would have waited 12 minutes. Later.
Yeah, because, I mean, Jared Goff, for all of the lack of production of the running game, Jared Goff played a great game. He was, I mean, you could talk about the Amon-Ra drop as, you know, maybe he got a little bit safe in where he threw that ball, but Amon-Ra touched it. Amon-Ra should have caught it. But that's about the only one where you look and you say, well, okay, yeah, that's a bad pass. And it wasn't like he was, you know, 100% accurate all the time. There were a couple of crossing routes where if he hits them in stride, they're still running instead of making a catch that, you know, a receiver falls down. But I thought Jared Goff played great. And knowing that Jared Goff was playing at that level and this game had gotten to a point where you weren't going to be running the ball, you were going to have to lean on Jared Goff, I'm okay with kicking the ball off with 12 minutes to go, hoping your defense, and again, the key word is hope, hoping your defense gets the stop, steals that possession, you get the ball back, you give it to Jared Goff, who's operating a high level, you go down and score, and now you're back in it. And then, which they did, and then that's when you go for the onside kick. That's just me, but I'm not as progressive or as aggressive as Dan Campbell. I'm not going to say it's wrong. I'm not going to say it was a bad call. It's just not one I would have made. But I will reiterate this. It was a bad day to have a bad day. This is still a 12-2 football team. Just because they couldn't stop the run yesterday against the Bills doesn't mean they can't in the Super Bowl or when they play the Eagles or any game that they're playing from here on out. it was a bad day, and the reasons for it. But I'll always come back to the offensive line. That was the biggest surprise to me. That was the biggest disappointment. You come out with a three and out. All right, hey, it lights a fire. And you come out and say, hey, you know what? That maybe we weren't ready to play on snap one, but on snap four, we're ready to go. And it just they never got that dominance at any point yesterday.
To your point, the defense is going to get the brunt of the blame, and it should. Dan Campbell's going to get some for the onside kick, and I think the inconsistency only invites that. The offense is not without blame in this, too, and I know that sounds ridiculous on a day they scored 42 points, but again, John, they got down 14-0. To your point about starting slow, they created that game plan where Buffalo got to play with the lead and Detroit had to play this arena football offense, throwing the ball all over the yard. It's the slow start. It's also St. Brown, by the way, who box score, great game. A fumble, killer in a one-possession game, and a drop right before the half that does add points. Like, I know the offense isn't going to, and it shouldn't get the most blame, but it is part of the formula here.
They had
to be perfect, which is the defense's fault, but they were not perfect.
Well, when you're in a heavyweight fight,
yes,
you can't give the opponent an extra possession, especially when they're led by Josh Allen. So yeah, that was big. Even though he played his heart out, we all know that. But when you lay the ball on the ground and you give Josh Allen that offense, when your defense can't stop him, an extra possession that hurts. And it ultimately, in a six-point game, you know, I'm not going to say that cost them the game. There's a lot of factors that cost them this game. But when you start off 3 plays, 0 yards, punt, 5 plays, 3 yards, punt, just in and of itself, then you spot them 14 points. You could spot Minnesota 10 points, which they did, and make a comeback. You can't spot a team like Buffalo 14 points.
Guys, this is no fun. This isn't a Victory Monday at all. Lions lose for just the second time this season. Your thoughts, your reactions, basically an extended post-game show all morning long. We've got open phone lines. You heard about the onside kick, the defense, the offense. Your thoughts and more next. It's 97.1.
Hey, don't let the cold creep in. We had a really cold weekend, and if you need your furnace serviced today, do what I did and call Mastercraft Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, and Electrical. They've got all the best equipment, the best prices, and they also offer same-day service. Plus, there's that 5-year warranty, so you know you're covered. Save a bundle with their winter bundle, up to $1,500 in savings when you buy a new furnace, AC, and generator. If you want more details, give them a call or visit them online at mastercraftheating.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, it's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. We all know sleepers can win you championships, but finding these guys takes time. That's where the Sleeper King comes in. Let me do all the research so you don't have to. Every week, I'm going to break down which sleepers you need to pick up off the waiver wire and which surprise deep sleepers could help you win the week. Every episode, just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
Dan Miller's call, open lines, Lions lose. It's the second time this season. Kind of forgot what that felt like.
Yeah. Hey, Heather, how's Colin doing this morning?
You know, I haven't seen him this morning, but I think he's okay. It was a really rough night.
Signed all of Detroit.
It's been a long time since you've had to deal with disappointed Colin.
Yeah, there was some drinking involved, and so a lot of well, there's always drinks involved during
sure,
the game, but
yeah, but he was drinking his sorrows away.
Maybe one more, and then he had he indulged in some comfort food afterward.
I was definitely eating my feelings last night.
Mm-hmm.
I was disappointed. There was some ice cream, and I had at it.
There was a milkshake here.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Yeah. We all have a way to ease our pain.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get to the phones. We have your reaction to that game. We brought up the onside kick, brought up the defense, brought up the offensive line early, right? You're down 14-0 right away. Got to protect Jared Goff. All in all, it's the Lions who were not, I mean, I know the score says they were in that game, but they were down 3 scores in the fourth quarter at home to Buffalo.
Yeah.
I mean, that is a painful reality check for this football team.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think I'm as upset. I mean, I'm upset with the loss. I'm upset that the offensive line didn't play well. I'm upset that they spotted them 14 points, but the sky is not falling.
No, well,
the sky
is
not falling.
But you and I have different degrees of concern today, because to me, the season is defined solely by winning the Super Bowl, and they just faced a quarterback.
But did they play the Super Bowl yesterday?
No, John.
No, they did not.
But that casts some more doubt than it previously existed.
Sure.
Hell, we thought they were peerless. Now they're not even the Super Bowl favorite. That's
right.
An expose. Now they have time to pick up the pieces, but the concerns on defense aren't going away. Aleem McNeil may be done for the season. Carlton Davis may be done for the season. The idea that, well, they're just injured, they're going to continue to be injured. And
sure,
the goal is to still win the Super Bowl, which, John, when they face elite quarterbacks, that's a real concern. There's more doubt today.
Okay. Yep. There's a lot of different ways you could look at it. There is certainly doubt today because they got manhandled by Josh Allen. It's also an opportunity to learn. What are the strengths and weaknesses of this defense? And I'm probably as upset with Aaron Glenn as I am with the offensive line, because it didn't feel like there was an adjustment in game. They just kept going man coverage, and then you lose Carlton Davis, your best man cover corner, and you still continue to go man coverage against an individual that was yesterday as accurate as you're going to find a quarterback when, you know, he's trying to read defenses in terms of just mental accuracy, but also, hey, some of those throws over the top of the shoulder of some of his receivers, it was unbelievable how accurate he was.
Let's get to Jim in Sterling Heights. Jim, good morning. You're on 97.1.
Yeah, good morning, gentlemen. Yeah, all I got to say is anybody that calls in with a negative response to yesterday's game is nothing but an SOL. And needs to be handled like you did with the individuals that were calling in about Max Crosby earlier. I mean, if they would have laid down after a 14-point, negative response, then I would have, been upset. But they fought back and made it a one-score game. And not only that, the announcers kept talking about how Buffalo came in decimated, yet the Detroit's defense was decimated. Yeah, we had our linebacker, but we didn't have a starting corner. We didn't have a starting linebacker. I mean, give me those.
Well, hold on. They started the game with Carlton Davis, right?
Yeah.
There was no injured corner to start the game, and it didn't matter, Jim. They were down 14-0 in the blink of an eye. What do you mean there shouldn't be any negativity today? They lost.
They lost by one touchdown.
They were down 17 points in the fourth quarter. Great. Against the prevent defense, they put up some garbage time stats. Jim, they were down from the get-go, and they didn't come back in that football game. They were down the entire way. Every second of that football game, they trailed at home. We can't be negative about that?
You know what? I'll take that any day. You know what? With Dan Campbell, who knows? Maybe they did hold back. Maybe they knew that there was a good chance that they were going to play Buffalo in the Super Bowl, and they didn't want to show everything that they had.
Okay,
that's why they didn't play. Right. Maybe that's
Jim,
why
I don't think that they were saving anything. I'm not as positive as you are, and there it is a day to have some negativity. I'm not going to jump down their throats because it was one game, an opportunity to learn. And I do I think that the season is over today? Do I think that they are out of going to the Super Bowl or winning the Super Bowl? Absolutely not.
Let's get to Heather with the news. Hey, no negativity. You heard Jim.
Okay, I'll be super positive in all my stories if I can be. Here we go, guys. Donovan Edwards has played his final game for the Maize and Blue. How exciting. Okay. I'm being silly, right?
I know, you're good.
So the Michigan running back has opted out of the ReliaQuest Bowl against Alabama, you know, marking the end of his Wolverines career. On Saturday, he did talk to WXYZ saying that he's grateful for all the support he's received, you know, but basically now he is just, you know, focusing on his pro career.
Did you think he was going pro? I did. It wasn't on my radar.
Do I think he was going pro? I don't think he has any eligibility left. I think he's played 4 years.
I thought he still had another year of eligibility.
No. His eligibility is going to expire after this season.
Oh, okay.
And the only argument I would make is, first of all, like a lot on your mind, you know, but there are guys that I think need an extra data point. Now, he's had 4 years, but Jalen Milroe's playing in this game because Jalen Milroe has a decision to make. Does he come back or does he, you know, is he going to leave? If he ends up leaving, it's an opportunity against a named opponent that you get a chance to play this out. And for Donovan Edwards, I think it could have been another opportunity to show, hey, maybe I should move up a little bit in the draft. Maybe I should be drafted. I think there was some work to do for Donovan.
Well, there's no way to be positive about this next story. Randy Moss, he promised last week that he would jump on Instagram Live to kind of, you know, give a message to his fans, to his followers. And he did that, and he revealed that he is battling cancer. So he said that he was released from the hospital on Friday after spending 6 days undergoing treatment for cancer found in the bile duct. Obviously, he was emotional. He called himself a cancer survivor. He did thank all of his prayer warriors for their support. And he said that on Thanksgiving, he had a procedure where a stent was put in his liver. He also underwent this 6-hour procedure to remove the cancer. He did say he is now going to undergo chemotherapy, radiation treatment as well. He kind of ended his message with a goal, obviously, to get healthy, right? But also he wants to get back with his team, and he wants to get back doing what he does. So, man, sad news.
It certainly was. And I did watch it, and it was as sad as I thought it would be. And praying for him every single day. He's a good dude. And I just, for anybody that's dealing with cancer, praying for you as well.
Yeah.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Jamie Foxx celebrated his 57th birthday on Friday night. It was at a place called Mr. Chow in Beverly Hills. But some sort of altercation broke out between like his crew and another table at this venue. And someone at the other table ended up throwing a glass, which hit Foxx right in the mouth. He ended up needing to get stitches. There's really no word on how this altercation started, but he did jump on Instagram on Sunday. He made a post that read, "The devil is busy, but I'm too blessed to be stressed." And it went on to say, quote, the devil is a lie. Can't win here. Your light is shining bright. They try to bring you darkness, but they don't know that you're built for it. The lights have been shining bright." It went on to thank all the people who watched his new special as well. Anyway, police were called to the scene. No arrests were made. It sounds like he's going to be okay.
Yeah. Does anybody know if Will Smith was there?
Oh. Wouldn't have been a glass. It wouldn't have been a glass. It would have been a hand,
right,
John. It couldn't have been him. Mega Millions players were unlucky this past Friday the 13th, and the jackpot is now soaring for Tuesday's drawing. So, Jim, this means
just in time for Christmas.
Yeah. And time to buy your ticket.
Yeah.
The only time he buys is when I talk about it in my news.
Exactly.
So this is it. So the jackpot has actually been won 7 times on a Friday the 13th. So it usually is actually a very lucky day for lottery players, but this past Friday was not actually lucky. So now at $740 million, Tuesday's drawing will be the 8th largest in the lottery's history.
That would certainly change Christmas.
It sure would.
And that is Heather with the news. Lions fans on hold. We'll get to you next. Of course, we got to talk about what happened yesterday. It's 97-1.
Hey, we've still got Monday Night Football. We got two games tonight. This NFL Monday Night Football FanDuel wants you to win even bigger. Right now, all customers can get a 30% catch-a-pass profit boost on either Monday Night Football game. That means you can boost your next NFL catch-a-pass bet by 30% and take home even more winnings during pick one of the two games or both. Bears and Vikings or Falcons Raiders game. You can bet overs and unders, spreads, player props. There's so much more. So check out the app. Have some fun with it. Plus, if you win, you're going to get paid instantly. So don't wait. Download America's number one sportsbook by visiting FanDuel.com/chance to take advantage of a profit boost today. Must be 21 or over and present in Michigan. Opt-in is required. Max wager amount applies. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable profit boost tokens. Restrictions apply, including token expiration. See terms for both offers at sportsbook.fanduel.com. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
That's a reality check.
About you.
Lions lose to the Bills. Down 14-0 early. Never really in it.
Nope.
We'll take your phone calls 248-539-9797. As you wake up today, factually, the Lions are not the Super Bowl favorites. It's Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
Season's not over. John has stressed that the sky is not falling. And we have a general theme in the ticket text. I'd say there's a lot of defenders and down players of yesterday's game. I am concerned because that is an elite quarterback. You will have to beat an elite quarterback to win the Super Bowl. The defense is injured. They're not getting healthier. And even when McNeil was in the game and Davis was in the game, it was hot knife through butter. So I am generally not downplaying what happened yesterday. Right. And I'm not going to defend it. They lost. If you guys wanted sunshine and rainbows, win the game.
Yeah. I mean, and so the question then is, and this is for later in the week, but how do you beat somebody who is as good as Josh Allen?
Yeah.
The number one answer is you can't have empty possessions. Now, you're not going to score on every possession, just like Buffalo didn't score on every possession.
They punted one time.
Right. But that's your margin for error. That's my point, yeah. Is you can't have empty possessions. You can't have an empty possession is three and out when you get the ball on the 25-yard line. Like, you've got to be able to gain some yards, pick up some first down, and if it doesn't end in a field goal or if it doesn't end in a touchdown, you still have to put Josh Allen into a position where he's got the ball at the 20, at the 15, at the 10, and he's got to go the length of the field because he's not going to be money on every single possession. He was almost nearly money on every possession yesterday, but that's you can't have empty possessions.
Ticket Texter says, they dismantled our linebackers and bullied the middle of our line. Of our O-line.
Oh, they certainly bullied the offensive line.
Yes. And you, the first thing you said, when you lose both lines of scrimmage, it's going to be
a long day.
Texter says, AG has to change his defensive schemes at this point. Too many guys injured. Can't continue to play this much man coverage, especially with a QB as mobile and dangerous as Allen, Matt, in Marine City. I think that's fair to say.
You're going to have to be more deceptive, that's for sure.
And I think those two things are connected, by the way. They could dismantle your linebackers because they could ISO them in man coverage on running backs. And they use a little pre-snap motion, and they got their matchups, and all of a sudden you got practice squad guys ISO'd in space against running backs, and that was some of what they did early in the football game.
Well, early and then late, and there was even times where, and I know Romo pointed it out a couple of times, as annoying as he can be, there were times where I'm like, oh no, there's clearly a linebacker that's manned up on a running back, and you know I thought that the offensive game plan for Buffalo was very obvious. Yeah. It was very clear. They're going to widen guys out. They're going to play with nobody in the backfield except for their running back, which is Josh Allen, and find out, okay, where is the best matchup? And a lot of times that was just simply, and he missed it a couple of times where there's a running back on a linebacker, and I'm like, oh man, this is where they're going. And he didn't. But it's a situation where you're going to be in that position at times. If you're going to go man, you're not going to completely abandon man coverage.
No.
But you've got to disguise and you've got to show man and then shift into zone after the snap. You've got to do something when you're playing against a quarterback that is as comfortable as Josh Allen is right now at identifying defenses and then attacking those defenses. You've got to do something post-snap to change the look.
Texter says, I blame the two losses this season on poor game plans. Tampa, the offense was trying to pass too much yesterday. The defensive failure, too much time in prevent. Not enough pressure on Josh Allen in the passing game, Jason in the car. You don't want to blitz him too much, but if you don't blitz him at all and you can't get home with four, John, he was patting the ball, extending plays, schoolyard. Like, you got to get in his face a little bit.
And yes, you do. There were times, and you could look at almost every single time that he escaped the pocket. How did it happen? There was a missed tackle, and he's really hard to tackle. But there was also a breakdown in rush lanes. When somebody gets, you know, the big eyes and thinks, I can beat my, you know, this offensive tackle on the inside. Hey, that's not your role. That's not your job on this play. When that happens, now all of a sudden, we talked about how comfortable Josh Allen is in that offense and in reading defenses. He feels and sees there's nobody out here. There's no contain. I can go ahead and extend the play out here as long as I want. And then it makes it even harder on the secondary who is in man coverage. At some point, the clock goes off. You can't guard somebody in man coverage. Deion Sanders, Darrell Revis at his best couldn't guard anybody man-to-man for longer than 6, 7, 8 seconds. It just can't happen.
To the phones we go. Keith in Detroit, you're on 97.1.
You know, I'm not a doom and gloom guy. You know, Buffalo in two games and gave up 90 points. They're not a Super Bowl team if they keep get 90 points scored on them. But I told my friend yesterday, the Lions should have used Gibbs before they'd use Montgomery. When Gibbs got in there, the Lions offense started moving. Instead of going up the middle, they should have went around the corners. And then, you know, Amaron, he's a great guy, but he dropped one towards the halftime, and he fumbled the ball. So that's football. They just got to get healthy. The linebackers, they need Anthony back. They need Barnes back. They need their line. The linebackers lost that game because they run ISOs on the Lions yesterday. And other than that, they do miss Hutch. I do agree they miss Hutch. But at the end of the day, it's just one game. They're 12-2. They've won 24 games in 2 years. You know, so don't get down on the Lions. They're going to be okay.
Yep. Keith, I agree. They are going to be okay. There's a lot of lessons to learn from this game. And then that's where you got to find out what type of coaching you have, what type of leadership you have from Dan Campbell, from Aaron Glenn, from every single coach on that staff and players. These are professional players. When you get beat like you did inside on the offensive line, Zeitler, do we think that he's going to be sitting there today not doing pass sets, not going over his footwork, not looking at, oh, okay, well, when I get a guy that pitches across my face or loops out, like they're going to be going over all of the details, and it's time to refocus, put this one in the back of your mind, and remember what it feels like. And maybe they just forgot a little bit like we did, what it feels like to lose.
Yeah, a lot of those. Double-digit disco, LOL, what happened?
Yeah, that's a bad take.
Raymond in Commerce Township, you're on 97.1.
Burn, baby, burn. The sky is falling. No, we can't be doing disco this morning.
No.
However, I'm kind of at the point where I'm kind of looking big picture, and there are just certain guys that you cannot lose and still feel like you can go out and accomplish all your goals in the year. And losing McNeil and losing Davis last night, those were two of them. And I got to tip my cap to the Buffalo Bills. They knew they had to come and play their A-plus game, and Josh Allen played his A-plus game in order to beat you. They scored, I think, 48 points and still almost were in a position to possibly lose that onside kick. I mean, it was just an unbelievable effort by the Bills. And, you know, the Lions, I thought the game was really lost. At the end of the first half, you know, the Lions finally got, you know, a missed field goal to go their way. And all of a sudden you feel like you're, I think they were down 7 at that point. And all the, if they could have just found a way to get in the end zone and get into the halftime, just, you know, tie with the Bills, I thought that would have been a nice little, you know, game changer going to halftime. You get a little bit of momentum. But then, of course, he couldn't even get points on that drive because Bates missed the, you know, long field goal. So all to say, I mean, I still think the Lions have a lot in front of them, but the margin of error is now gone.
Yes.
And it's going to be on, you know, the Lions to, you know, win your next two games. Hope that the Green Bay Packers can actually beat Minnesota, because I think Geno Smith is probably going to be out now. So I can't even count on Seattle to maybe give us some help. Well, you know,
Raymond, I think it's well said.
I don't
think they need help from Green Bay. I mean, if they beat Minnesota in week 18 in that scenario, it wouldn't matter what Green Bay does, but they just have to keep winning. And to your point, the margin for error is gone. This offense is lethal. This offense can win a bunch of shootouts, but they're going to have to win more shootouts because that defense was bad. To his point, it is still all in front of this football team. They still have an opportunity to do all of the things we talked about before the season. It's just going to be harder. And John, this idea that they were clearly the best team in football, that's not the answer anymore.
Well, no, as we wake up this morning, they're not the best team in football. It doesn't mean that they won't be the best team in football over, you know, the 21 games, whatever it takes to win the Super Bowl. That's still there. And this was bad. It was an opportunity. I always go back to it creates an opportunity. What was disappointing about this game was the offensive line. That's probably the most disappointing for me. But what on top of that disappointment, what happened to Buffalo's defense last week?
Yeah, they were torn up.
They were ravaged. And to think that they weren't going to come in here and respond and to not be ready for their best effort. They came in loaded for bear or loaded for lion, whatever you want to say. They were ready to roll, and I just don't feel like the offensive line was ready or even match their intensity throughout the course of that game.
We've got some overreactions coming up at 7:02 from the NFL weekend. More of your thoughts on this Lions game next. Lions, just their second loss of the season. No, the sky's not falling, but
no,
there
it's
are
not.
Real concerns we got to talk about. It's 97.1.
Hey, you guys, it's Heather here. So these days, online scammers are everywhere. Whether it's those fake missed delivery texts or that urgent bank alert, these scams can look more convincing than ever. But there is some good news. You can protect yourself from online scammers without being a tech expert. That's where McAfee Total Protection comes in. It's designed to help you live a worry-free life online. And worry-free means you won't have to wonder if that text message is a scam, if you should click on that link, or if new threats will pop up on your PC, or if you're safe from identity theft. It means you can go ahead and do the things you always do. You can manage your finances. You can shop online without fear. Because McAfee provides award-winning protection you can rely on. You can trust McAfee to help keep your devices, privacy, and identity safer. Visit McAfee.com/online protection today to get award-winning online protection for just $39.99 your first year. That's McAfee.com/online protection. Cancel anytime. Terms apply.
He's reading from the book of Jansen.
Yeah, he sounds like a former offensive lineman that played the game for a while. Yeah,
you said the same thing today.
Yeah, and I didn't even hear that quote. I mean, they were 12-1 going into this game. They did not get blown out. Now, they got controlled for most of the game. Did they ever lead in this game? No. And so there needs to be a level of concern. And for the players, for the coaches, for those that are going to be taking the field, you know, next Sunday and then in the playoffs, there needs to be a level of awareness. But to sit there and say, oh, well, they can't beat the Buffalo Bills in the regular season, so even if they make the Super Bowl, they're going to lose. No, it is. How many times do we say this about division opponents? It's really hard to beat a team twice in one year.
Love to get a rematch. Ticket Texter says, you guys on this station have hyped Super Bowl and Super Bowl. How about humble pie? Mobile quarterback's a nightmare. Says, fortunately, Mahomes, Jackson, and Allen are all in the AFC. He says, stop thinking Super Bowl. I don't think we have to stop thinking Super Bowl today.
No. No, I mean...
I definitely feel concerned about facing those guys in a Super Bowl. Hell, get to the game and find out what happens. But I no longer have this idea that, like, oh, they're just so much better than everybody else.
Well, I'm glad we got a chance to see Josh Allen in the regular season, so we don't have to find this out in the Super Bowl.
Correct.
Now you have an opportunity to make some corrections, to shift your game plan, to do something different next time you play, whether it's Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, or Patrick Mahomes. Now, Patrick Mahomes, we've already dealt with that problem.
Yep.
Not this year, but we've dealt with that problem. Jared Goff, he's not playing defense, but every time he plays Patrick Mahomes, he just simply wins.
And right? I like Detroit's chances to outscore Kansas City this year.
Yeah, and this is an opponent. When Josh Allen is operating the way he was yesterday, Josh Allen hasn't had this game every single time he walks on the field. He is on a heater right now. Four-game stretch where other teams other than just the Lions have had issues with Josh Allen. It's not a Lions issue. It's a Josh Allen issue.
Before the season started, you were higher on this team than me. I thought they were a team that could win the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
I still feel that way. I feel like I got knocked back down to maybe where I was before the season, where, hey, get to the game, anything can happen. I like this team, puncher's chance. Whereas a week ago, I was riding this high of they're invincible. And I feel like the invincibility has worn off to me.
Oh, I still expect them to win a Super Bowl. 100%. And I think yesterday, it sucked. It sucked for 3.5 hours. It was agonizing. But I do think that this is, I mean, okay, let's put it like this. Do you believe that because Aaron Glenn didn't make the adjustments we thought he should make, he's still not at the top of a lot of lists for a head coaching job?
I think he still is.
Yeah, this one game isn't going to deter an NFL franchise from hiring Aaron Glenn or seeking him out for a head coaching job. Now, and the reason is we've seen him make adjustments. We've seen last year in the defense yesterday. It's still a better defense than they had last year. And that defense took him to the NFC Championship, or offense, but the defense was a part of that team.
By the end of that game, I'm not so sure that the defense was better than they were last year.
I think we're going to
missing Carlton Davis, missing Aleem McNeil.
But what did Aaron Glenn do with about 8 weeks left in the season last year? Made some adjustments.
Going to have to.
And he's going to have to make some adjustments. And maybe this year, instead of being more aggressive down the stretch, maybe it's I'm going to have to pick and choose my times to be aggressive, but I need to be a little bit less aggressive. I trust him to make some adjustments.
Let's get to the phones. 248-539-9797. Who's been waiting the longest? It's Mark in Oak Park. Mark, you're on 97.1.
Hey, good morning, fellas. How y'all doing?
Good.
I was going to make a point, but I'm going to piggyback off of you guys' thoughts. First one was, this is a great learning experience, an opportunity for the Lions. I'm really happy that they did lose in a way that we've been on such a winning streak. Go on and lose, get it out the way, make our adjustments so we can get ready for this playoff push. When it comes to Aaron Jones, in game and at halftime, he didn't make no adjustments. He stayed in that man-to-man defense, and Josh Allen just ate us alive. Hopefully he understand that. I don't know if it was stubbornness or he was trying to prove a point, but it has to come to a point where, okay, I realize I don't have the players that I want to have because they're out on injury or whatever the case may be. I got to adjust to put my defense in the best situations.
Yeah, I don't know.
Keep us in the game and win.
I'll be really curious to see as that gets discussed more this week. Did Aaron Glenn feel like he had installed a good game plan? I'm sure he did. And feel like if he tried to scrap it mid-game with new faces, that they actually would have been giving up more explosives? I mean, there is a risk in switching to zone and just getting torn apart. But I would argue at that point, what do you got to lose? You forced one punt, gave up 550 yards, 8 yards a play. Like, hey, even if it's just on a random second down or a third down and long where they think they're going to get man and all of a sudden you're in zone, just to throw a curveball to try to throw Josh Allen off. He might see something pre-snap. You show motion, you show trail coverage, but then all of a sudden everybody pops out into zone. I wonder if, you know, what will be said this week about the defense from Dan and from from Aaron Glenn too.
I think he has got a change going forward. I don't think many coaches change their scheme until the players force you to change the scheme. I don't think you do that in game very often, especially maybe when you don't have the blitzing ability of some of the players on the field. Now going forward, guys like Iffy coming back, maybe
sure,
you know, that changes the equation. But I think he gets a little bit of a pass for yesterday. But
hold on, you got to make in-game adjustments. There's not right, you can't right. make you, an excuse for that.
No, but if you don't have the personnel to do it, I mean,
you still have to try though, right?
Yeah, I guess because you have nothing to lose. But at the same time, I mean, look, their linebacking core to me is absolutely decimated. They have given up 99 points in the last 10 quarters, and that pretty much directly correlates with Rodrigo getting hurt. That was the dam breaker, and that's what I missed on this.
It's one of the things we missed with the double-digit disco. It was going the other way for a long time.
Yeah.
They're down 14-0. I had people coming up to me going, hey, was a double-digit disco meant for Buffalo?
You guys didn't listen closely.
No, now I got to send all that stuff back to Amazon. Anyway, we got Overreact Gyms coming up next. I had a whole bunch of stuff ready for today.
I did. I know you did.
I had disco chains for the show. Yeah. I had disco glasses for the show. I had an obnoxious shirt that you would have hated that I would have been wearing all day long today.
I would have loved it. I literally went through every piece of clothes I own, and none of it, absolutely none of it, would have passed as any type of disco.
I welcome the tarring and feathering.
Sure.
Okay, we got out of control. And like I said, from a football standpoint, I overlook the I think the linebackers are killing them now.
And they'll get Anzalone back, which is good. Barnes, who knows? I don't remember the last time we had an update on Barnes, but that would be a huge addition.
Last thing I read was from last week is that he's still not ruled out to come back.
Okay.
But don't count on him anytime soon. But you know,
But the trade-off is if Aleem McNeil's not coming back, and again, Campbell said yesterday he's concerned he may not play again this year. You're already losing Hutch. McNeil stepped up on the trenches. Their D-line's not getting pressure without Aleem McNeil.
But there's little things like Kaminsky might come back eventually.
Yeah, but the trade-off there.
I know, but John Kaminsky was on the defensive line when they closed a 2022 season strong.
I guess I'm certainly not going to count this team out. I loved how they responded when they lost Aiden Hutchinson. That was a sobering reality check.
Sure, it was a reality check. And they're going to have to go back to the drawing board, which they will. And they'll have to come up with answers before they play any of those. And, I mean, it's not just there. We've talked about the Eagles, their rushing attack, and it's also Jalen Hurts. Now, Jalen Hurts is no Josh Allen. He's not Patrick Mahomes, and he's not Lamar Jackson. But he is an experienced mobile quarterback.
Weekend overreact gyms all across the NFL next. It's 97.1.